series of Hilchos Brachos, the various hashkafic points and musar points will emerge as we go, but let's try to at least highlight, by way of introduction, one or two things. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos is famous for giving a very simple explanation for why Chazal created the notion of brachos on so many things that we encounter, Brachos HaNenin especially, consistently throughout the day. Every time we put any food in our mouth, Brachos HaShevach, things happen frequently, like using the bathroom, calls for Brachos HaShevach, Hashi Yotzer. The ultimate purpose is Lizkor Es HaBori Tamid, because by having so many opportunities to recall HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, it's inevitable that if a person is actually focusing on what they're doing, they will be more cognizant and aware of the fact that Melocha La'aretz Kvodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over the place, all over our world, all over our lives, and that will inspire us to Yirat Shamayim and Avodas Hashem in general. We'll talk more about Hashem when we get there about the requirement for 100 brachos. Goes back to David HaMelech. And maybe even the Asmachta. Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma Shamokach HaShol Me'imach, Al Tikri Ma Ela Me'a. That the institution of 100 brachos is already hinted at in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a result, it's something critical in order to frame our day and every point during our day. Many, many occasions where we find ourselves an opportunity to make a bracha and remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives. Let's start today with how one makes a bracha. So number one, we find in Tehillim a pasuk, Yimali Pisi L'Asecha. A person's mouth should be filled with the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Kufayin Beis Sivkot and Zayin, that we learn from here that a person's mouth should be clean and empty when they make a bracha, literally taking that pasuk, to fill my mouth. David Melech is talking about himself. I will fill my mouth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises. There should be nothing else in the person's mouth at the time that he makes a bracha. Along similar lines, Shulchan Aruch says that it's appropriate to rinse one's mouth out in the morning from whatever unpleasant stuff is there when he wakes up before pronouncing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in tefillos in the morning, in brachas in the morning, because cleanliness of the guf is also covered shemayim and covered a bracha, and therefore in the same way that he cleans other parts of his body, the mouth that enunciates the bracha should be clean as well. That's Yimali Pisi L'Asecha, the context in which the Shulchan Aruch teaches us that halacha is if a person accidentally forgets to make a bracha, they put something in their mouth, and that they realize they have to make a bracha. So there are basically two different possibilities of what will happen. If it's something that he can remove from his mouth, and the food won't be damaged, won't be nimas, won't be disgusting, so then he should do so, take it out of his mouth, make a bracha, put it back in, and swallow it. But if that's not an option, if it's something which, if he spits it out, it will be disgusting or it will be very unpleasant for the people at the table from his almond ads. So then the right thing to do is push it to the side of his mouth and make a bracha. But of course, the ideal would be, when possible, to take it out of his mouth completely, to be mekayim this mitzvah, this pasuk of Yimali Pisi L'Asecha. Number two, obviously one's head needs to be covered when making a bracha or when saying any similar dvarim for kedusha. This is true for men and not for women. Women do not have to have their heads covered, single or married, when they're making a bracha. There was a minhag among Sephardim. Single girls should be makbid as well to cover the heads for brachos, but the common practice, Rabbi already writes, is that one, even amongst the Sfarim, need not be makbid about this. If a person cannot wear a yarmulke for whatever reason, so his hand doesn't suffice, guf is not mechasa guf, a person's body can't cover itself, but again, in a situation of need, he can pull a sleeve over his hand or the like. Someone else's hand works as well, but just not his own hand to cover his own head. Number three, ideally if we cover a bracha, so other parts of his body should be covered, not only his head, even though it's not required me'ikar hadin. So, for example, a person's in the backyard in a swimming pool and he comes out to take a drink. Besides the yarmulke, so really he should put on a shirt or cover himself, cover his upper body with a towel before making the bracha. But again, strictly speaking, if that's not possible for whatever reason, covering the upper body is only necessary, only absolutely necessary during tefillah, not for bracha, but it's appropriate if possible. Number four, it's best if you can make all brachas sitting down. Poskim say that by sitting down, a person is able to focus his kavana, which suggests that a person should put a lot of effort into ensuring that he has proper kavanah in making the bracha, but it's not a requirement, not an absolute requirement for bracha rishon. However, it is required to sit down for benching. A person's not allowed to bench standing up. Mishnah Berurah says the same thing is true when it comes to al-michya. One should not recite al-michya while standing up either. But the more that a person can sit down, even for brin fashos, and certainly for bracha rishona as well, it allows him to focus and concentrate. That's the right way to do it. One should not make a bracha with dirty hands, whether it be from before his hands are dirty or from the food that he's eating. If he has something messy to eat for lunch, so he should make sure to clean his hands, wipe them off, rinse them off if possible, before he makes a bracha. So there's a concept in halacha, we'll talk about it more another later on, that stam yadayim are acceptable. If a person, you know, just wants to take a drink, wants to make a bracha, he doesn't need to go over to the sink to wash his hands first. But if he knows that they're dirty, if he knows that they're unclean from something he ate or from whatever he was doing before, then it is required kavod habracha. That's a consistent theme throughout everything we're talking about. Kavod habracha is also part of those brachas to make sure that his hands are clean before he makes a bracha. Number six, the item you make the bracha on should be right in front of you when you make the bracha. And that's obviously to minimize the hefsek between when you make the bracha and when you eat from it. That allows a person to avoid any hefsek that might arise if everything's prepared right in front of him before he makes the bracha. If it's in a package or some other scenario where it's immediately accessible to you, it's not l'chatchila, because we do want to minimize the hefsek, but it is acceptable. In other words, if I make a bracha and I'm expecting someone to bring the food to me in the other room, so the halacha is then when they actually bring it to you, you're not yotzi, you have to make another bracha. Because as long as you're tully in someone else's actions that you're not in control of, so the bracha is invalid because it has to be, as I said, immediately accessible to you. So the old trick that some kids do in elementary school, that your friend brings a snack and he won't share it with you. So you make a bracha on it. So he has to give it to you. It doesn't really work because it's tully b'das acherim. If he doesn't give it to you, so that's his choice. And even if he does give it to you eventually, because it was not in your hands, because it was not something immediately accessible, just like in a package, something easily that I could uncover, so it would seem that's a bracha levatala. Another practical application of this, Rav Scheinberg is quoted when it comes to a water fountain, right? So he said that ideally, a person should turn on the faucet, the flow of water from the water fountain, and then while the water is going, to make the bracha, because this way it's already in front of you, even though it is more or less inevitable. When I press the button, it's going to come. But strictly speaking, one does not need to do that, especially if they're concerned about the waste of water. It would not be required to waste the water because, again, all you have to do is press the button. There's really nothing holding you back. However, to be honest, people waste water for a lot less important things while they're brushing their teeth, while they're washing their face in the morning. So if they're not so makbid about that, wasting the water, it would be a good idea to be makbid on the halacha concern. But again, it's not an absolute requirement. It's a chumrah. Number seven, some people are makbid anyway, just as an aside related, to always test the press the button of the water fountain before you turn it on, in case sometimes, water fountain, it's broken. And then it would mamash be bracha latala if you made the bracha and you turn it on, it's not going. So at least to press it for a second just to see that the water's coming out the way it's supposed to be, that would be a good idea to avoid a possibility of bracha levatala. Number eight, other examples, garinim, seeds or nuts in a shell. We'll cover tu b'shvat. Yeah, so you should make sure to remove the nut that you're going to make the bracha on before you make the bracha, that, again, by doing so, you minimize the hefsek, and it'll go right into your mouth after you make the bracha. If you're making a sandwich, right? So if you have the peanut butter on the table and you have the bread on the table and you wash your hands, you shouldn't sit down after you make the tilsi daim and spread it on the bread, make hamotzi, and then put it in. Certainly not to make hamotzi and then put the peanut butter on the bread. You should minimize the hefsek as much as possible. It's a fruit, and you're going to eat little bites of it, so then you should cut it up first before you make the bracha. That's going to be time-consuming. You want to get right to it. Open the wrapper from the chocolate bar, open the bag of chips, take the cover off the drink, pour it into a cup. It's also brought down in Poskim if you have a hot drink or something that's very cold, and either you want it to cool off or you want it to warm up a little bit, better to wait to make the bracha before that point, because sometimes you take some tea that's too hot, make a shahako, you can't even put your mouth on it, right? So in order to minimize the hefsek, wait till it gets to the appropriate temperature at which you can make the bracha and then enjoy it immediately. Number nine, if food needs some seasoning, it could be salt, could be ketchup, however you like to eat it. So that's also part of the kavod habracha. It's also part of the kavod habracha to make it taste delicious. So if that's the way you're going to eat it, don't make the bracha and then put it on. Add it first so that it's all ready to eat, so that the bracha is being made on something which is in its optimal taste, that you're going to bite into it when it has the time that you'd prefer. It's brought down in Shari Tshuva. Because, again, the more appealing and delicious the food is that when you eat it, the more cover there is for the bracha. And that's one of the reasons that we have salt on the table for challah when you make hamotzi. It's really true about any bread. So number 10, just digress briefly, in Shulchan Aruch, in the halachas of Betzias HaPas and Kuf Samach Zayin, that's where we find that a person should have salt or some other spread on the table when he makes hamotzi for kavod habracha, that the food should taste delicious, and also to minimize the hefsek, even though in theory if a person needs salt, they can interrupt and say, please bring me the salt. because it's Letzorah Chasuda, so it's not considered Hefsek. But better to have it right there. No Hefsek, better to have it there so you can make the food taste as delicious as possible. But there's a couple other reasons over here that are mentioned. Derech Agav, the Rama already writes, Mechaber writes over here, that nowadays our bread often has spices or salt or some other taste to it. It's not simple flour and water. So the advantage of the salt is less compelling because it already has a nicer taste to it, and the Kavod HaBracha is enhanced. But besides that, the Rama says it's a good idea, it's a mitzvah to have salt on the table anyway before you break bread, because the Shulchan is Domal HaMizbeach. The Shulchan is Domal HaMizbeach, and the Achila at the table is a Karban. Mishbura adds as well that by sharing with people in need, with the Achnasas Orchem or Tzedakah, poor people, that's also a form of the Karban that's accomplished through the Mizbeach of our table. And the Torah, it says, Al kol karban chatak ramal, that has to be salt on every karban that goes onto the Mizbeach. In addition to that, there's a Medrash that the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here. First, he says that the achil is a korban not just because of the mitzvahs you can do with your table, but also because it's a korban because the food that you eat at the table is machas yikoach, gives you strength to be healthy and strong for avodas Hashem. And then he brings the following: Kishe Yisrael Yoshun Mamtinin Zeze Ashi Yitlu Yideim Heim Lo Mitzvos Hasatin Mekachem Aleim Ubris Melach Megin Aleim. Unbelievable. When we're sitting at the Shabbos table and we're waiting for everyone to wash, waiting for the Baal Bayis to come to the table and make hamotzi for everybody, and everyone's silent, so the Satan is being makatrig. He's prosecuting in Shemayim. Rabbanu Shalom, look, your people are sitting there and they're doing nothing. They're wasting time. They're wasting time. They're not speaking in Torah. They're not doing any mitzvos. They deserve to be punished. So the bris melach, the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with salt, one application of that is the fact that the salt goes on the mizbeach. Every carbon that goes on the Mizbeach, so that protects us from that possible kitchuk. So it's a very practical lesson over there. Person should not waste a second. Kal v'chomer when they're doing things that are negatively productive. But certainly if they're just sitting around doing nothing, twiddling their thumbs, that already is a siba for the something to be katrig, something to be avoided, and another reason why we have salt on our tables when we make hamotzi.